Matthew chapter 9, the text for this evening is verse 29. We continue our series entitled The Touch of the Master's Hand. And here we read in verse 29, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." Of all the miracles performed by our blessed Savior on the blind, this is the first that is recorded in the Gospel. Indeed, if you were to read through the Gospels, you would discover that 6 other instances the Lord Jesus was pleased to heal the blind by his miracle working power. And so there are 7 instances in the Gospel which the Lord Jesus was pleased to heal the blind. What a wonderful way then the Spirit of God, the divine author of this book, has of reminding us of the perfect and complete work of healing that the Lord Jesus performed upon those that had suffered from this awful affliction of blindness. Indeed, it would seem that the Lord healed in this miracle-working ministry more people that had blindness than any had suffered from any other affliction. It would appear that there were those in every assembly and congregation that the Lord Jesus addressed who were suffering from blindness. Dear people, tonight this only goes to remind us of that spiritual blindness which so many people suffer from today, and indeed we've all suffered from, even from the day we were born. For we were born a blind people, that is, spiritually blind. And in almost every congregation, the spiritually blind are present. And the Scriptures make it clear that this spiritual blindness is caused by the disease of sin. The Lord has said to us through his prophet Zephaniah, "They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord." Zephaniah 1 verse 17. All who presently suffer from this affliction, this spiritual blindness, are blind to the seriousness of their condition. They are blind to the danger that they are in. They do not realize that at any moment, because of their blindness, they could fall over the edge of a great precipice, fall in to a lost sinner's. And in their blindness, they are unable to see the road that will lead them to the place where they might have their spiritually blind eyes opened. Yes, Paul says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the eyes of them that believe not." That's what the God of this world has done. But tonight we want to consider what the God of heaven is able to do. For the God of heaven is able to open blinded eyes, and he's able to make those who are spiritually blind, is able to make them see. With just one touch of the Master's hand, those blind eyes can be made to see. Just as it was the touch of his hand that opened the eyes of those two blind men that we have read about tonight in Matthew 9, so he is able to open the eyes of the spiritually blind today. He hasn't lost his power. He hasn't lost the art of opening blinded eyes. So let us then consider tonight another touch of the Master's hand. This time, as he opened the eyes of the blind with the touch of his hand. Considering the two blind men, let us first of all consider their walk in darkness. Look at verse 27. There you read about their walking in darkness. For it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. They were walking in darkness. These blind men followed him. And here we see that they were walking in darkness, in the darkness of their blindness. And as they walked in the darkness of their blindness, we notice their attitude to Christ. Here is something, as we see it written upon the page of Holy Writ, we might say this is quite remarkable. And yet what we have in verse 27 is a common sight. We say this is quite remarkable. How can men who walk in darkness actually follow the Lord Jesus? How would they know where he was going? How would they know when he had stopped or turned to the side, to the left or to the right? They wouldn't know because they were blind. Surely someone must have aided them. Surely someone must have guided them. It is quite possible. But that's what happened. And it is quite possible that those who guided the blind men and showed them where the Lord Jesus was going and where he was to be found, it is quite possible that they knew something of the law concerning the blind. Because you see, the Lord has his laws with regard to those who suffered from blindness. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 18, we read, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. And so the Lord says, cursed is that people who cause the blind to wander out of the way. And back in Leviticus chapter 19, and there we read in verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God, I am the Lord. And so these two laws were laid down to give guidance to the people as to how they were to treat the blind. They were not to put a stumbling block in front of them, neither were they to lead them astray. And so it is quite possible then there were those in that crowd who knew something of these laws, were familiar with the laws of God, and therefore guided the two blind men in the way. And that is why we read then in that verse where we commenced our reading tonight, the two blind men followed him. We said there a few moments ago that this is a familiar sight. Happens all the time. Happening today. There are men and women, and they're following the Lord Jesus, and they're still walking in darkness. They're like the blind men that followed the Lord Jesus that day. They walk in darkness. They claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus. But think of this. Here were two blind men, and we read they followed Jesus, yet they had never seen him. And there are souls today, and they claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus, even though they had never seen him with the eye of faith. They will say that they are followers of the Lord Jesus because they're very religious. And because they're religious, they believe that they have the right to be called a follower of the Lord Jesus. But they're not really, because they're walking in darkness. And they have never seen Christ with the eye of faith. They're still spiritually blind. They understand that being a good church attender means that they are a follower of the Lord Jesus. That is not true. They're actually walking in darkness. They've never been to the light. They've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're still in darkness. Oh, they believe that if they read the Bible every day and pray every day, that makes them followers of the Lord Jesus. No, it doesn't. They're still walking in darkness. Just like the blind men. They believe that if they are charitable and full of good works, then that gives them the right to be called followers of the Lord Jesus. After all, the Lord was charitable and full of good works. Therefore, if I do the same, I'm a follower of Christ. But that's not true. That's not right. Because they're still in darkness. There is something wrong. Their blindness has not been lifted. They're still in their spiritual darkness. They're still walking in darkness. What do they need? They need the touch of the Master's hand. They need the Lord to open their eyes and to see that the church cannot save them. And good works cannot save them. And all these things do not make them true followers of Christ. They can only become followers of the Lord Jesus when their eyes are open. And these men, although we read, the two blind men followed him, yet they were still in darkness. Notice also not only their attitude to Christ, but their appeal to Christ. as they followed him, we're told they cried, saying, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on us." Now that is most interesting. It is most interesting that the two blind men cried out to the Lord Jesus and used this language and gave him the title of the Son of David. That is very interesting. Because the two blind men that we read about later on in Matthew, the two blind men, which included Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside begging just outside Jericho, when the Lord Jesus passed by, lo and behold, what did they cry out? They cried, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thy Son of David." Two more blind men. And they use the exact same title when addressing the Lord Jesus. Why did the blind man, on two separate occasions, and who knows how many other occasions, why did the blind man address Christ? I'd like you to turn back into Isaiah. And there we find the answer, I believe. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3. "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." Verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Is it possible? Believe it is. And I believe we have here the reason why the blind man on separate occasions addressed the Lord Jesus as the Son of David, because they were familiar with the Scripture. And they were familiar with this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, that when the Son of David would come, he would open the eyes of the blind. They were familiar with the Scriptures. And they identified him, Jesus Christ, as he passed by that day. They identified him as the one that Isaiah had spoken about 400 years before and more. And they said in their hearts, "This is he whom Isaiah spoke of, who would come and open the eyes of the blind." But wait. They were blind men. How could they possibly have read Isaiah 35? How could they possibly have known that those very words had been written by Isaiah? They were blind. There's only two possibilities. One, they had these Scriptures in their hands and they read them before their blindness. Maybe way back in their childhood days, they either read Isaiah 35 themselves or had it read to them, maybe as a child. And they still remembered the words that when he would come, he would open the eyes of the blind. Or maybe on the other hand, even in their blindness, they had the words of Isaiah 35 preached to them. Then they remembered that day when Christ passed by. He has come at last. The Messiah has come. The Son of David has come. And they cried out, "Have mercy on us, O thy Son of David." How I wish that men and women today recognize Jesus Christ as the one who is able to open the eyes of the blind. How I wish that men and women would recognize today that Jesus Christ indeed has come and is able to open the eyes of the blind. How I wish that men and women would call to mind those scriptures that were read to them as a child, as they sat on their mother's knee. How I wish men would turn to the Christ that has been so often preached to them, as they sat in their blindness and in their darkness, and realize that Jesus Christ is still able to open. Thy Son of God, have mercy. I recognize him as the one of whom I died. Would that we would hear those words again come from the lips of sinners, come from the lips of those who sit in nature's darkness. Would that we would hear those words again, "Thy Son of God, have mercy on us." We have looked at their attitude, then their appeal. Next, we have their approach. We're told that when the Lord Jesus was come into the house, the blind man came to him. Verse 28. And it was only when they came to him that their eyes were opened. It was only when they came to Christ that they felt the touch of the Master's hand upon them. We had read in the previous verse that they had followed Christ, and they had followed him, they had walked after him in the darkness. And the darkness wasn't lifted then. But the darkness was lifted, the darkness was dispelled. When they came to Christ. And that's when the darkness of the soul is lifted. It's only when that soul comes to Jesus Christ. There are many today. They would like to be known as followers of Jesus Christ because of their church going, their good works, and all the rest of it. Like to be known as respectable members of the community and followers of Christ, and yet they've never come to Christ. And they don't want to come to Christ. pride that keeps them back from coming to the Lord Jesus. Oh, they have to humble themselves and confess and admit and acknowledge that they were sinners. And pride prevents them from doing that. But I tell you, except they come to Christ, they'll never be delivered from darkness. And they'll never know the touch of the Master's hand. Then, on the other hand, we know of those who will not come to Christ because of their own sinfulness. They say, oh, Christ would not accept me if I came. I'm too sinful, I'm too wicked, I'm too corrupt. And so for that reason they will not come. And I've known of others who will not come to Christ because they don't feel guilty enough. They don't feel concerned enough. They don't feel that distress of soul. And they feel that they have to wait until they feel more convicted and a greater guilt in their soul. Isn't it as well that the blind man did not wait until they felt that? What did they do? They came to Jesus just as they were. They came to him in their blindness. They came to him, and when they came to him, felt the touch of the Master's hand, and their blindness was cured. Oh, I tell you, sinners need to come to Christ. There's no salvation for the sinner by standing afar off. And the Lord went to the land of Gadara to heal that poor soul. We read that he saw Jesus afar off, but then he came to him. And it was only when he came to Christ that he was cured of his disease. It was only when these blind men came to the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice not only their walking in darkness, we have here also their wonderful deliverance. When the blind men first heard about the Lord Jesus, they followed him, crying and saying, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on us." But you will notice that their plea was not answered until some time after. For we read in verse 27 that the two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the Lord didn't answer them immediately. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." The meaning of all this? What's this all about? First of all, you see here the test. What faith they had put in the Lord Jesus was being put to the test by the Lord Jesus. What faith they had in Christ when they cried out, "The Son of David, have mercy on us," was being put to the test. Was it real? Was it genuine? And whenever they came into the house, the Lord said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you really believe I'm able to heal you of your blindness? Do you believe I am able to cure you? Do you believe I am able to save you? And I tell you, it's most important that when a sinner comes to Christ, then they had better believe that the Lord is able to save them. They had better believe that the Lord is able to cure their blindness. Because if they come to the Lord Jesus and there's no faith placed in Him and they do not believe He's able to save them, what will you have? You'll have nothing more than an empty, worthless profession. You know what it was like when you came to Christ. You knew you were a sinner. You knew Jesus Christ was the Savior, and you knew something else. You knew He was able to save you. Why else would you have placed your trust in Him? Place your trust in Him because you believed that He was able to save you to the uttermost. Blind man believed. The Lord asked him. Then we read in the next verse, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's a test. Then you have the touch. Then touched he their eyes. The next verse says, and their eyes were opened. Then touched he their eyes, and their eyes were opened. Notice that it was a sudden touch. No sooner had they confessed that they believed the Lord Jesus could heal them, give them sight. No sooner had they placed their confidence and trust in the Son of David than Christ stretched forth His hand and didn't have to wait another minute. The cure was wrought. And it was wrought with great suffering. He touched them and their eyes were opened. Just as they had done in the beginning. When the Lord Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. So by the touch of His hand upon the blind man, there was light where before there had been darkness. And they didn't have to wait. And so it is today, when a soul looks by faith to Christ, he is saved in that instant. Do you ever hear people talking? I'm saying, you ask them when they were saved, they'll either tell you, oh, well, I was always saved. I was always a Christian. Or they'll say, well, I just grew into it. I grew into it. The Lord said, you must be born again. That's not growing into anything. That's something that takes place in an instant. And the Lord in His Word says, look unto me. And what? And be ye saved. The look. Then they're saved. The brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. And the message was to those who had been bitten by the fiery serpent, look
and what? Live. It's instantaneous. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Didn't have to wait. Sinners don't have to wait. And as the psalmist said, this poor man cried. And what happened? The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Sudden touch. It was surely a sensitive touch. As what does it say? It says, then touched he their eyes. We know that the eye is the most sensitive part of the human body. We can't bear anybody working near our eyes. Very sensitive. Yet Christ touched their eyes. Does that not show us just how tender the Lord is? This morning we spoke about his mercy. Here we have Christ touching the eyes of the blind according to his tender mercy. They look to Christ for mercy, and they find mercy. Remember again what mercy means? Sympathize with someone in need, and then to go to their aid and seek to do all that you can to alleviate their misery. And the blind man cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus Christ had mercy on them, and he alleviated their misery with a tender touch of the Master's hand. So it is with sinners today. They can come to the Lord Jesus and expect a warm and tender reception. Sinners may come to Christ and know that he will not condemn them, but he'll cleanse them. Know that he will not beat them, but that he will bless them. Know that he'll not denounce them, but he'll deliver them. Next you have the triumph. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8 verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And when the two blind men came to Christ that day in that house and cried for mercy, the light of the world came into their dark souls, and suddenly the darkness was gone and their eyes were opened. The Prince of Light had defeated the Prince of Darkness. Did Paul say, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not"? The God of this world. But my, when Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, he's the God of heaven. And the God of heaven, the Prince of Light, will always defeat the Prince of Darkness. 1 John 3 verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And oh, may sinners be brought from darkness to light. Then they will show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. What do we have next? They've noted their walking in darkness and their wonderful deliverance. But now we have their willful disobedience. Sometimes, or indeed it has happened when preachers have preached on the subject of the healing of the blind men that passed over, more or less ignored what followed after that. Or they've made excuses for the blind men. Because we read in verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knoweth. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They disobeyed the Lord. It was willful disobedience. It wasn't done in ignorance. It was willful disobedience. Note the order that was given. The Lord Jesus, we are told, when they had opened their eyes, we're told Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knoweth. One of the first lessons that an enlightened soul must learn is obedience to Christ. Here's another test, if you like. Here the Lord was going to test their discipleship. And the Lord straightly charged them, saying unto them, see that no man knoweth, as disciples of the Lord, from the moment we're born again, we ought to obey God. We ought to obey His words. We ought to do as He has ordered us to do. He gave this order to the blind men. They before had their lives ruled by the prince of darkness. Now they were under new ownership. They belonged to the one who's the prince of light and life. And as we come under new ownership, we are to obey our owner and our master. And the blind men didn't do that. We must learn to obey His word. We're not true disciples if we don't obey God's word. Joshua 24, verse 24, Israel one day said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. That's true discipleship. His voice will we obey. When the apostles were arrested and put into prison and then charged with preaching Christ and told not to preach that name again, what was their reply? We ought to obey God rather than men. That's true discipleship. But the blind men failed the test. The order it was given. Then we notice the offense. They disobeyed the Lord. Their first act after receiving the touch of the Master's hand was an act of disobedience. The Lord had charged them, saying, see that no man knoweth. In fact, that word charge is a very strong word. The word means to charge strictly. The Lord was saying to the blind men, you must obey me and say nothing. Very strict about this. You must obey me and say nothing to any man. He couldn't have put it in stronger terms or stronger language. And yet we read, But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Some people make excuse for the blind men. They say, oh, well, you have to overlook that. They just met the Savior. They've been blind for so many years and now they have their eyes opened and they're just overjoyed with what has happened. That may be true. And so therefore, there's no harm in them going out and telling others what the Lord has done. Yes, there is harm. Because the Lord told them not to. The Lord said, don't do it. But they did it. The Lord said, say nothing. And they went and spread his fame abroad. What did Samuel say to Saul? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I look at what the blind man did, and it speaks to me, first of all, of those blind men and how ungrateful they were. They were ungrateful. They had appealed to the Lord themselves. Son of David, have mercy on us. And the Lord graciously answered that appeal. Now the Lord appeals to them. But they didn't answer his appeal. They were ungrateful. They were unthinking. Did they not stop to think? Well, the Lord has told us not to say anything. It must be for a reason. He's wiser than we are. We ought to obey him. But they didn't do it. They were unthinking. And I go further. In this willful act of disobedience, they were unloving. They were unloving. John 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They didn't keep his commandments. And the inference is, they didn't love the Lord as they ought. Oh dear child of God, let us obey his word. And the offended, Christ was offended. He's always offended when we disobey him. Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 to 28. The Lord said, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, don't expect blessing. We cannot expect blessing from an offended God. To say some people make excuse for these men and say, well, they were told not to say anything, but you can understand it. Maybe some good came out of it. After all, they were telling the country about the Lord. Well, I'll finish with this. With the words of the late Dr. Bob Jones, the founder of Bob Jones University. He had many, many sayings that he gave to the students. And one of them was, it is never right to do wrong in order to get an opportunity to do right. And that's what the blind man did. They did wrong in order to get an opportunity to do right, to tell others about the Lord Jesus. But it's never right to do wrong in order to get an opportunity to do right. Let us not follow the example of the blind man with that regard. Let us be obedient servants of the Most High God. Let us bow in prayer. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we do thank Thee again for Thy Son, for His tender touch, for His sensitive touch, and how He deals with us with great sensitivity, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. O gracious Lord, we pray that in this day in which we live, that many, Lord, will come to Christ, that they'll come to Him. And, O gracious Lord, they'll seek from Christ light for their darkness and life for their death. Lord, write this word upon our hearts tonight. May we meditate upon it. Rejoice in Jesus Christ that He has touched our eyes and made us see. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we leave this house. Be with us as we travel. And, O gracious Lord, keep Thy hand upon us until we meet again. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion now and forevermore. Amen.